Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. We're smack dab in the middle of draft season, and the bullets are flying for real. Wait, this is fantasy baseball. I can't really say bullets are flying. Maybe the paintballs are flying, or the foam lawn darts are flying. Yeah, that'll work. Smokey's going to join us. I'm sure, too, that his mom loves that he goes by Smokey. And let us know which injuries are freaking him out this spring. Also, he swears the injury bug is out to get him this year. Yeah, Smokey, keep telling yourself that's not paranoia. Jay Rong is going to join us and take us through some under-the-radar players from his under-the-gradar posts. See what I did there? As well as discuss what your mix of starters and relievers should be. We'll take a quick look at the team I drafted in the RCL Champions League yesterday, where I'm going to thoroughly get my ass kicked while simultaneously having my hat handed to me. We'll take a peek at the new DraftKings.com baseball scoring, and there's a Razzball contest coming there soon. And don't forget, you can interact with the podcast by following me on Twitter at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble, hopefully at the same time today. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of March the 18th, 2013. Here we go. Spring training injuries that have Smokey concerned. And Smokey only usually gets concerned when he's out of zigzags. Rizlas, are you serious? What is this, Europe? You can read him at Razzball.com and follow him on Twitter at Smokey MacPot. Just so we're clear, Smokey is with two E's and Mac is M-A-C. What is it with you writers and your Twitter handles? Did you skip marketing 101? Okay, Big Smoke, who's at the top of your list?
First off, I'm concerned about Zach Greinke's elbow. He just pitched a bullpen yesterday, and for someone being drafted as a 10 to 15 starting pitcher, it's got me very worried. He's not going to be ready for opening day, which is April 1st for the Dodgers. The first time they need a number 5 starter in the rotation is April 11th. So he's going to have a little extra time in spring training to get his feet under him, so to speak.
So where would you pick Greinke now then?
I dropped him maybe 5 to 10 spots right now, only because I'm more concerned that, you know, elbow injuries usually tend to lead to a loss of velocity, location, and he's got to build up some arm strength. So he might miss 2 to 3 starts at the beginning of the year, but it's going to happen again maybe later in the year if it catches up back up to him.
So is he like on your do not call list? Are you not touching this guy?
For drafts that I've already done, I've actually picked him as my first pitcher off the board.
Fudge.
I've drafted him, you know, after I get 5 stud hitters. He's my first pitcher. He's usually in the Gio Gonzalez, Yu Darvish range, and I like the value before pre-injury.
So this is really just an angry rant by you, I think, Smokey. Okay, who's number 2 on your list?
Number 2 is Carl Crawford. Funny thing is, he's not a pitcher, and his elbow still hurts.
Yeah, he had Tommy John.
Yeah, definitely had Tommy John. I don't know why Tommy John didn't copyright that injury. He'd be a millionaire. The thing about Carl Crawford is he's getting drafted in the mid-150 range, which is, you know, mid-table draft. But he could be Carl Crawford 2006, or he could be the shell of himself from Boston. We don't know yet.
Well, you know what I'm interested about with Crawford? I actually picked him up yesterday. I did the RCL Champions League where I'm going to get beat up. And I took him, I think, as my 4th outfielder. So I figured I like the upside. I mean, the upside in my mind is maybe 15 homers and 20 steals and a pretty good average. So I'm going to roll with that. Who's number 3 on your list?
Number 3, since I'm in love with relief pitchers, we'll pick one here. Chris Perez. He's been having shoulder problems early in spring training, and he hasn't thrown for 3 weeks. The good thing about Cleveland is they have my favorite all-time Paisan relief pitcher, Vinny Pistano, waiting in the wings.
Hey!
Oh!
No, I like Pistano a lot. In fact, someone commented today on Razzball.com. They were asking about should they stash him. I think absolutely, because I don't think Perez is long for the job. Not only does he have shoulder issues, but the guy's kind of a bit of a knucklehead. He's got a bit of a reputation, so I could see him being out of there pretty quick. Give me number four on your list.
Number four is also a relief pitcher. I'm going to pick Casey Jansen. He also has a shoulder injury. The thing with him and the Toronto bullpen, Sergio Santos is having injury concerns also. So it's kind of a race to see who's going to be healthy first. Santos is throwing right now. Casey Jansen, I believe, threw a bullpen over the weekend. And who knows? It's going to be a race to the finish. It's like, you know, to the injured finish, I guess.
Well, you know what? Just an update, because I'm based out of Toronto here. Jansen, I think, is still at least a few weeks away. Listen, I know because he had a lot of saves last year, a lot of the national media is looking at Jansen as a closer, but if you're following the media here in Toronto, Santos has been shooting BBs this spring. Plus, if you remember 2 years ago, Santos was outstanding. So I'm grabbing Santos. In fact, I wouldn't even draft Jensen, but that's just how I'm looking at it. Who's the number five guy on your list?
Number five is David Wright, who just got hurt in the WBC. He strained something called the intercostal, which I thought was a road to the Florida Keys. He's being drafted top 30 overall, and he's in that questionable Zimmerman Longoria himself, you know, after Beltre Cabrera category.
Fair enough. Hey, listen, quick poll, Smokey, zigzags or Rizlas?
I'm kind of a Dutch guy myself. I'm not gonna lie.
Wrong. Correct answer is hits from the bomb. All right, thanks for joining us today, Smokey. We'll read you at Razzball.com.
Thank you, Nick.
We're idiots.
Because I couldn't come up with a better sounder for Jay Wrong and I shooting the shit. You can read Jay at Razzball.com and follow him on Twitter at Jay Wrong. Okay, Jay, let's talk about the Under the Gradar posts you write. You discussed Jonathan Neese last week. Catch me up, because I didn't get a chance to read it.
That means we can't talk about Jennifer Lawrence more. I think that was my favorite part a couple weeks ago.
I'll be honest, if you just want to have a conversation about Jennifer Lawrence, that's actually my vote.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. If I could draw tits like that, I wouldn't need the internet. So, but yeah, I mean, well, the basic gist with Neese, and Nick, you should probably duck so I don't get any gist in your eye, but he's a good bet to be a guy you depend on. He won't be flashy. He'll get you 200 quality innings, 150 Ks, mid-3 ERA, and 10 to 15 wins. I mean, that has value on the back end of your rotation.
Are you not worried about the fences coming in New York?
Not terribly so. I mean, usually those things are for the players themselves. I know Seattle is doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing in Petco. I think it's more the environment not depressing the hitters as much. I don't see a huge variation happening there with this staff.
Okay, talk to me about Yonder Alonso.
That's right. We got Yonder Alonso coming up, I believe it's next week. And that one's going to be a challenge because I'm going to try to sell a no-power corner that, you know, plays half his games in Yosemite Park. But I think if guys take a chance to read the post, I can prove that he has 20 home run potential.
Okay, I'm with you on that. I'm not arguing that. Another guy I want to talk about is the guy that the Dodgers paid a ton for to bring over from Korea. You say his name, so I don't have to butcher it.
His name is Hyunjin Ryu, and I actually pushed to do this post with Gray. This post is actually coming on Thursday in a couple days, and I pushed it with Gray because I'm half Korean, and in case anyone's curious, the other half is Irish, so basically when you combine that with my charm, the experts, they call that heaven. But so with Ryu, the consensus is basically there is no consensus, right? I mean, people are asking, is he an ace, a back-end starter, a bullpen guy? I mean, what we're going to try to do is figure that out, and then what we'll do after that is spoil cabbage in copious amounts. Because us Koreans, I don't know if you know, Nick, but, you know, we do crazy things with food, but it's nothing crisp.
Homeboy, I am all about the kimchi. I don't know how it works with Guinness, but give me some bibimbap. No, I said that wrong. How do you say it?
I think it's bibimbap. You were close, though. I mean,
wait, are you Korean or not, man?
It's half. It's like a Twinkie, right? So, but yeah, I mean, going back to Rue, I just wanted to say that, you know, for guys who are drafting now, who need a tease for what they're looking for, basically look at David Wells, circa 1997 to 2000, and you'll get an idea of what you're buying.
Look, I know it was against, the talent level of the Korean League, but I watched a lot of YouTube videos. I like how he throws. I think he could be really interesting, especially the first and even second time he goes through the league. I think there's a chance there to get some really good early returns. And, you know, I'd gamble on him as a third starter even. I know no one's going to agree with me on that, but that's one of those gut calls for me this year.
No, actually, I'll be the one who agrees with you. I think, look, his fastball is probably at 45 on the 2080 scouting chart. But what you have to look at is his off-speed stuff. Does it play in the major league? And I think it does. He's got a lockdown slider. He's got a good changeup. He's got a good curve, so he won't have those platoon splits. Obviously, I think the first time he goes through the league, I think he'll do a great job. But what happens when he adjusts after that? If he has the off-seed stuff to play, then when the batters adjust, he'll adjust, and you know we'll see what goes from there. But I think he can be a mid-rotation starter.
You know, I am totally getting kimchi fried rice for lunch. Let's talk now about managing between starting pitchers and relief pitchers. What's the magic recipe? It's a good thing I actually didn't ask Smokey just now about his magic recipes. But what's a good way to try and balance your starters and relievers?
Right. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to go. There are a lot of strategies out there. There's the old school Lima plan, which is draft a whole bunch of blah on the back end or for a dollar and hope it all works out. I don't really like it. It puts too much pressure on your offense to perform. There's the stars and scrubs approach, which doesn't make much sense because you're just going to get a mean that comes out to average. And so I know Gray doesn't actually agree with this, but I'm generally okay drafting multiple pitchers in the top rounds if the right guys are there. I mean, when you think about it, there are a couple of things to think about. I mean, pitchers are a fluky commodity no matter what you do. Last year's Roy Halladay is a prime example. So something terrible is going to happen. It's going to happen no matter what.
Yeah, you know what? I tend to agree with you. Yesterday, I drafted in the RCL Champions League, and in the first eight rounds, I wound up with Strasburg, Darvish, and Matt Moore because they were there. And I know I'm not the majority, but I really think that starting pitching is actually really shallow this year. And I've had a lot of luck the last couple of years with running a ton of those high K, low whip setup guys, the Robertsons, the Pastanos, Kenley Jansen, Greg Holland, to eat a lot of innings, give me great ratios, and stock up on Ks. And if you project those guys over 200 innings, you're going to get close to the same win total. So I've done that strategy a lot the last couple of years, and I'll probably use it again, especially this year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right on. The roster format also helps you already. You're most likely going to have to only draft 9 pitchers as compared to, you know, 13 to 15 hitters, and 5 of those 6 are starters. So the pool is smaller. Less could go wrong. It's just simple mathematics. And so when you're looking for a nice setup, I usually prefer to go a 6-3 setup as opposed to the normal 5-4. That's 6 starters and 3 relievers. I like having that extra starter to get you the edge in terms of Ks and Ws. And within that setup, I pull an inception and go one level deeper by splitting it up into subcategories.
Right. Yeah, and the way I look at it, too, is in a couple drafts I did this week, I was getting Dave Robertson, David Hernandez in the last rounds, and you're not going to figure out which starting pitchers are going to evolve or stand out early this year. So why not run a couple of those guys while you're figuring out who you need to pick up because another closer got injured or who you need to pick up because your starter got injured? I'll roll with those guys. I'll soak up some really good innings there.
Yeah, I mean, for the actual starter setup, you know, I refer to the subcategory setup I like. I like to aim, like you did, your 3, I like to aim for a mix of 3 of the front of the rotation starters. You know, it doesn't have to be aces that you're getting. Obviously, there's no way you can go get Verlander, Strasburg, and Price unless, you know, you're a wizard with +5 to Magic Missile. But if we go back to the Razzball Riders mock draft, you know, hashtag Razzball mock that we did, I was able to nab Kershaw, Darvish, and Dickey. Now, like you did with your 3, I can take my 3 and we can go out there and we can feel pretty confident about those 3 guys, you know. And you don't need to sacrifice offense. I actually like how my offense turned out. But the question remains, what do you do with the last 3 starters that you look for? And that's the most important part. Now, with those 3 starters, like you picked Matt Moore, you want either young guys with potential or rebound targets. I guess you could call it a hedge section, if you will. And, you know, loosely these guys come pretty cheap.
All right, listen, I think I got an idea. Let's cook up a corned beef and kimchi dinner. You think Jennifer Lawrence would show up for that?
Yeah, I hope so, man, because I tell you what, I want to make out with her like the Titanic is sinking, you know?
Jay, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Nick. Take care.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. So next week, we're going to announce a big Razzball-centric contest happening over at DraftKings.com. It's really cool, and I'm chomping at the bit to fill you in. But let's take a quick look first at how the baseball scoring works at DraftKings.com. It's point-based. So, for example, for hitters, a single is worth 3 points, a round-trip is worth 10. Pretty straightforward, but they made a few key changes this year to bring pitcher point values into line with the hitters. If you haven't played before at DraftKings.com, you won't notice the scoring changes. It'll seem natural. But if you have played there, I think you're going to get a truer feel of the game within the new system. They also went ahead and added a second pitcher spot, as well as multiple position for eligible hitters, so that's awesome. The most interesting update they've added is that salaries are going to change a lot more this year, and it's going to better reflect real-world performance, and they're also going to calculate in park factors to better reflect that the venue in the salaries. So a player's salary is going to look really different if he's playing at Coors Field versus Petco. So it's going to add it to a lot of the realism. This is, again, where the Streaminator tool is really going to help you take advantage. Now, here's something incredibly cool that I just discovered at DraftKings.com. And the guys over there tell me they're the only daily fantasy site that does this. Well, hold on. They are the only daily fantasy site, right? Okay. So what sucks about fantasy? When the first game of the day starts and your lineups are set, right? Well, that's the beauty of the daily fantasy at DraftKings.com. Once you set your lineup, you can still swap a player out until his game starts. So you have a late scratch? No worries. Swap them. Bad weather rolling in? No worries. Swap them. I only wish swapping wives was that easy. Is there a site for that? Anyway, don't forget, next week in the podcast, we're going to talk about the contest that we're rolling out. So get ready, DraftKings.com for the baseball season. I'm excited. You should be jacked too.
RCL Champions League.
It's my league, and you're going to have to listen to it whether you want to or not. So here's what happened. Gray and Rudy thought it would be awesome to throw me in a league with the Jedi Council of Razzball Commentator League Champions. By the way, have you signed up for an RCL team yet? Anyway, I'm by no means a fantasy expert. I'm here to drive the podcast bus, like the sober friend you hang out with to be the designated driver. So I fully expect to get beaten within an inch of my life in this league. The draft was yesterday, and I used the Razz Draft tool, which you can find at razzball.com. Just go under the Tools tab and click on the Online War Room. It allows you to input the players you draft based on Gray's projections, and it tells you how close you are to your category targets. It's actually a freaking wicked tool, but full disclosure, it's a bit slow right now. So I had the number 5 pick in the draft, and I won't take you through the entire team, but I took Joey Votto at number 5, passing most notably on McCutchen and Kemp. And it's because I'm not sold on either of those guys this year, and I figure I'll get a 320 average with a ton of runs and RBIs out of Votto. The next few picks went Steven Strasburg, Adrian Beltre, Starlin Castro, Yu Darvish, Austin Jackson, Freddie Freeman, and Matt Moore. I don't usually aim to sew up my infield, but it's just how it evolved, and because I think starting pitching is surprisingly shallow this year, I'm really happy with a 1-2-3 of Strasburg, Darvish, and Moore. The beauty of the Razz Draft tool is that it tallies the projections of the guys you drafted versus what your team target should be, so that way I could see I was killing it in average but needed to add stolen bases in a bad way. So it's a really great tool that you definitely want to bring into a draft with you, even if it is running a bit slow. I had no problem as I was going through a 12-team yesterday on ESPN.
The Razzball Podcast.
All right, so we've got Gray on the line. Hopefully Rudy's going to join us. Hopefully he's not stuck at Ethiopian immigration again like last year. Gray, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me. If you'd like, I can do me and Rudy's voice. Hey, this is Rudy. I have a math question for you that I'm trying to figure out, Gray. Go ahead, Rudy. What's your question? You're better at math than I am. Oh, Rudy, come on. You're modest.
All right, listen, let's keep it on track. So we had our first getting to know Gray question. Of course, we're looking for interaction. You can interact with the podcast on Twitter by following me at Nick Capozzi. And the first Twitter question we had for Gray was, Gray, your name screams Anglo-Saxon, but your mustache indicates some Latin DNA. What's your background?
Well, let's see. My family tree is actually quite exotic. I have Mandingo blood running through me. My great-grandmother bedded a Mandingo on the Isle of Man in the 1300s.
And where did the family name Albright come from then?
When the Mandingo and my great-grandmother woke up, it was morning, so it was all bright, so they just went with it. Why is my great-grandmother only in the 1300s?
Well, I guess that means you have great aging genes.
Yeah, well, I'm 217 years old.
You're like Yoda.
Well, you might know Madeline Albright is probably the most famous member of the Albright clan.
Okay.
She also bedded a Mandingo.
This is probably the first and last time we're going to get the Getting to Know Gray segment up on the podcast here.
In reality, I'm half Italian and half Jewish. I'm a pizza bagel.
There you go.
Yeah, the Italian side of me wants to start fights, and the Jewish side of me gets my ass kicked. The Italian side of me has a great head of hair. The Jewish side of me is always worried it's falling out.
Is that why you grow the mustache?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. All right, let's move on.
All right, let's keep going here. So I want to talk about some of the rankings that you've put up this year, because as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, in the RCL Champions League, where I'm going to get my ass whooped, I actually use the RazDraft tool. So your rankings were right there, and that's specifically why I did it, because that's how I fell in love with you guys, was Gray and Rudy's rankings. You've got Justin Upton at number 10, and from my point of view, he's moving out of a great hitter's park. He's never been consistent. Is this a post-steroid era price adjustment on bats?
I'd say that Upton isn't going to have a problem. As they say, his power plays anywhere. I think his problem was thought of as an attitude problem, but in reality, I don't even think that was true. He had a thumb injury last year, and once his hand brace came off, he hit 6 homers in September alone. Chase Field, you're right, Chase Field is slightly better, but I think his lineup will be slightly better in Atlanta. And plus the motivation of having, you know, his big brother there. So that's always got to fuel the fire. I'm about to lose my mind. Upton here.
Do you think there is an advantage to having the two brothers on the same side?
No. The only one who has an advantage there is the mother and father, so they can go watch the game in one place rather than having to split their time.
Absolutely.
I think I don't think there's any advantage, really, to having brothers on the same team, other than anecdotal.
Another thing that another guy that I wondered about is you have Kinsler number 17. I understand the position, and that's the only kind of justification I can come up with for that, but Kinsler at 17, again, I'll reference the RCL League yesterday. Longoria went after that. Wright went after that. Wouldn't you rather have those guys than Ian Kinsler?
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have Longoria, definitely, because I have him ranked above Kinsler in my ranking. I think everyone has an issue. I think, you know, Batista has the wrist issue. Hamilton's got an addiction to sugar candy. Reyes gets to, you know, he goes 1-for-3 in his first game, then he sits out for 6 months, so he stays at 300. Everyone's got issues. I don't think there's any clear bet as to, like, okay, this guy's a for sure at 17. I think Kinsler had a good year. He was on the field all last year, and he still had a good year. He doesn't seem like a guy who's necessarily going to fall off the map unless injured. And it's hard to predict injuries. You know, it's just a crapshoot.
Right. Jose Reyes, this blew my mind, and it made me wonder if I was really in a Champions League. Jose Reyes went 13th overall.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's paying a premium on position scarcity. I think, let me guess. Was it Oaktown Steve?
You know what? I'd have to check. I don't have the laptop in front of me, but I don't know. I don't think he realized that Rogers Center in Toronto is still AstroTurf, the only stadium left with AstroTurf.
Yeah. I know from the comments, Oaktown Steve has been pushing Reyes really hard, higher and higher. So I don't want to bet actual money, but if we could say let's bet $100 on Oaktown Steve, because I won't see you to actually collect the money, and you won't see me to collect it for me. So let's say we're betting $100. It was Ocamp the Grays.
All right, sounds good. What do you think Reyes is going to do this year? I'm just curious.
I like Reyes a lot, actually. I think he's got, you know, 35 to 40 steal speed. He can hit 280 to 290. Have at the top of that lineup, easily get 105 plus runs, maybe 10 to 12 homers, 50 to 65 RBIs. I like him a lot. I think he's the best, you know, I think he's better. I prefer him over Tulo. I think Reyes has everything you want from a shortstop, but he also has the, you know, I think the injury thing is there, and you're paying a premium for shortstop. So I don't necessarily hate the pick of Reyes in the second round. I just wouldn't do it because I'd prefer to go with power up front.
Okay, another guy that I'm not crazy about the ranking, and talk me out of it, you have Edwin Encarnacion at 27. The only thing I think, look, there's a shot that Toronto has this magic elixir up here where you can take guys who have a little bit of power and turn them into legitimate power bats. But at 27, ahead of guys, again, like David Wright, I know Wright is injured now, but you got to justify that one.
I don't think it's not a magical elixir. It's a wizard by the name of Dwayne Murphy. he's actually no longer the hitting coach. So everyone is going to tank in Toronto this year. I think Encarnacion was, it was noted that he changed his approach, and last year he hit more homers to center and the opposite way than he had hit in, say, 4 years combined. So before he was crazy ball happy, and he was able to utilize the whole field last year because of his changed approach. So if he continues to follow, you know, the change from last year, he should be good for 30 homers easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me a second time at least.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I wouldn't love taking Encarnacion in the beginning of the third round, but if I didn't have a first baseman, it'd be hard not to.
And see, from my point of view too, and it's because I'm following the Jays obviously here in Toronto, but the lineup has a lot more question marks, I think, than answers. Bautista's coming back from a wrist injury. Encarnacion has only the 1 year under his belt. Laurie's always hurt. Reyes has always hurt. Melky's a question mark. I'm actually going to try and avoid Blue Jay hitters.
You're a self-hating Blue Jay fan.
No, I'm a Montreal baseball widower. And, Toronto's this young, up-and-coming, sexy, you know. But until I see a ring, you're getting nothing out of me.
Yeah, I think the hitting is, I think the hitting is going to be fine. The pitching is going to be Toronto's problem. But, you know, that's neither here nor there for fantasy. I wouldn't go near a bunch of their pitching. I like, Brandon Morrow, or how do you say it?
Morrow.
Right. I like that. I like him. I don't like Josh Johnson there at all.
See, I like Josh Johnson in a contract here.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with contract here. I think he's lost something on his stuff as he's gotten older, and he's not in humid ass Miami anymore. I think he's gonna have a 3.9 plus 4 ERA this year.
All right, interesting. Hey, let's have a little chat about the Raz Draft tool. Obviously, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, it took about 2 years, 2 months of my life, and gave me a stage 2 ulcer trying to get it up and running. So, yeah, I've seen it.
Tell me a little bit about it, because I know we've talked about it briefly, but this is actually a really, really cool tool.
Yeah, the War Room. I think, yeah, I would use it as a draft tool after the fact. But I have a pretty good sense of where I stand in categories as I go along. But I don't think... I wouldn't sit there and plug in each one of my players as I was actually drafting. I'd go in afterwards and see where I stood. And at that, you know, just as sort of a Monday morning quarterback type tool is how I would use it. And then I would see, and, you know, most leagues, I think, are 85% of our readers slash people who actually play fantasy baseball and don't just listen to the podcast for my beautiful voice, are they're doing 12 to 14, you know, 10 to 12 to 14 team leagues where you can still find guys after the draft. I don't think a lot of, you know, if you're in a 20-team league and you need the war room, it's like, well, you're in a 20-team league. You've got to know guys. You must know pretty deep players off the top of your head and how your team's standing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It'd be like using a watch calculator to do, like, you know, trigonometry. It's like you're way past this point. You should be able to do this without the war room.
Yeah, way to talk up our products, Gray.
No, I'm saying it's helpful for most of our, it's helpful for most everyone on our site.
You know what? It's helpful for everyone except Rudy. Gray, listen, over the weekend, there was a lot of talk again. I know it had been rumored the last few weeks, but there was talk again about possible MLB suspensions to players who've been linked to the Miami Lab. You want to talk about that a little bit? Because there's some big, big names involved there.
Yeah, I think the I think what's going on with the whole Braun and Cano, Cervelli, and I think personally that there's no way they're ever gonna, you know, suspend Braun because of something that they found in the dumpster outside the clinic or wherever where if someone smuggled out a note from the clinic. I don't know the whole history of where these scratching came from.
So you're just going in regardless.
I'm going in completely regardless because they didn't suspend Braun when they found an actual sample of his urine that had been painted. There's no way they're going to be able to suspend him because they found, you know, some scratch paper from a mad scientist in a clinic down in Miami who was saying that he sold Braun some illegal substances.
Right.
I think it's ridiculous. It wouldn't hold up anywhere. Braun's counsel would be like, are you kidding me? There's no way in hell you're going to be able to suspend my client. It's ridiculous.
All right, you know what? I think actually you just convinced me. That's a really good point because I have been avoiding Cano and Braun, but I think you may have just turned me around on that.
Yeah, I don't think, especially, Cano and Gio, from what I've read, they haven't even been implicated in the serious findings of the, you know, the scratch paper or whatever. It's so ridiculous. It's just something trying to sell page views on some sites saying that these people are going to be suspended.
Fair enough. Hey, let me ask you a couple more quick questions here. We'll go kind of quick hit on this. How are we doing for signups in the RCL, the Razzball Commentator Leagues this year?
Got a shitload of people. Like,
love it.
I think 700.
Really?
Well, either that or one person opened up 700 Gmail accounts and there's only one person in the RCL and they're playing against each other.
All right, listen, I want you to give me just a quick handicap on two leagues here. The RCL Champions League that you threw me into so I can get a beat down. Who do you like in that?
Random italicized boys. For what it's worth, I said that without italics.
What I'll do is hopefully I haven't figured out yet on ESPN how to track the league, but I'll get the league tracking numbers. So what this is basically 11 champions from the RCL last year and me. So that could get ugly real fast.
Yeah, you should have some of the guys on the podcast to talk about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We'll work on that. Hey, and let me get you to handicap. I have enough trouble getting our writers on the air. Speaking of which, give me a quick handicap on the Razzball Writers League. We're also going to be doing a Razzball Writers League this year. We're going to pit some of the crew, myself in there, and see how we do. Give me your top three favorites. If you had to put a nickel on it today, who do you think might be in the top three?
Jay Wrong.
All right, you got him number one. Who's going to finish second and third?
It sounds like we got the best is this is the names of the people that are writing for the site that we're supposed to be trusting. No, you're at your draft. You're like, are you crazy? How can you draft that guy? T-hole says it's a terrible pick.
You know what? My money, My money's on Sky. Sky, the editor over at Razzball Football, he actually knows his baseball pretty darn good, and I'm going to put a nickel on Sky as the eventual champion in the Writers League.
It's good. Yeah. Sky, I was going to put Sky in three, and then anyone in the top three can really win it. So it's going to be a Sky, J-Wrong, T-Hole. I think Glenn, I'm out of car with those three.
All right, listen, of course, we can follow you at Razzball.com on Twitter, and you can follow me at Nick Capozzi. The real question is, what happened to Rudy? So I'm going to say, bye, Gray, and bye, Rudy.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, let's talk math.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week on the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Peace.